All right. Father's Day. The day that's been set aside to honor our fathers. And again, we know that we ought to be honoring our fathers every day of the year. Not just on this particular day. As a matter of fact, the one of the Ten Commandments that has a promise attached to it concerns our honoring of our fathers and mothers. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee." Not just a suggestion, by the way, but a commandment. "That thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, that sounds to me like it's probably pretty important, since it is the one that has the promise attached to it, and it is a commandment, and so we need to honor our fathers and our mothers. Now, I realize that most of our fathers are actually human. Surprising, isn't it? But most of them are human, and humans make mistakes. So if your father's made a mistake, remember that he's human. And humans make mistakes. As a matter of fact, the only human that ever lived on this earth that didn't make a mistake was Jesus Christ, and he died to pay for our mistakes and for our imperfections. So, and because our fathers are human, that means that we too are human, right? And so, most of us make mistakes. I realize there are a few that may think they're above that, but they're not really. We all make mistakes. And so sometimes, you know, it's not the father that is the only one that made the mistake. We too have made mistakes. So this morning I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the importance of forgiveness, the importance of mercy, the importance of compassion. We have some really great examples that we could look at, plenty of them, throughout the Bible. And it's very important that we remember this morning, whether we're the father or the child, sometimes we need to practice showing some mercy, showing some compassion, and extending some forgiveness so that we can continue to love and respect one another. I want to look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. We're going to be looking, first of all, at the account of the lost son, or what we call the prodigal son, there in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse number 11. And we'll see actually both sides here, where there's need for fathers to forgive, and there's also need for children to forgive. First of all, we see the need of a father forgiving a son, and we see the example of that here in this story. This story is about a son who was the youngest son. He wanted all his inheritance so he could go out and live his life. Most of us children are more educated. We're wiser. And we know a lot more about that we ought to live than our parents do. Because, you know, I mean, we probably got more experience than our parents do. Our parents are old and, you know, they're ancient and they probably forgot anything they should have remembered. They just don't really know what's happening, you know. We sometimes think we're smarter than they are, right? And here we have an example of that. Apparently it was going on way back then too. So it didn't just start. It's not something that this latest generation has just created. This is something that's been going on since the beginning of time. This son wanted his part of the inheritance. He wanted his inheritance so he could begin to enjoy it. You know, give me what's mine. or what's going to be mine, and let me enjoy life. He knew how to take care of those things, like most of us when we're young. I'm older now, so I don't know all that much, but when I was younger, I was a lot smarter. I was a lot smarter than my mama and my daddy, you know. I don't know where they were at when they should have been learning all that stuff, but, you know, I was educated. I knew how to take care of myself and take care of things and take care of money, you know. You buy what you want when you see it. You know, don't worry about tomorrow, you know, just live for today, right? That's the way we do a lot of times, and that's kind of the way this young man did. He wanted his inheritance, and so he asked for the inheritance, and his father gave it to him. So he went out, and he decided that he was going to do things his way. He was tired of living under dad's rules. You know, some of us have fathers that are pretty strenuous, and some of the rules are just way too strict, and there's no reason for us to have to live under those rules. My dad had some pretty strong rules, and as a matter of fact, he had a statement that he used quite often, and that statement was, as long as you put your feet under my table, you are going to live by my rules. That was just pretty well cut and dried. You know, that was his idea. But I didn't think he was real smart about all of his rules, and you know, thought I could probably do better. This young man thought he knew better than his father, and so he was ready to go out and live life and enjoy life. The problem was, it didn't take him long to waste all that inheritance. He went out and probably thought he was really having a good time for a little while. He had money to spend. He spent it on things that looked pretty and things that looked fun. And then all of a sudden, the well went dry. The bank account dried up. There was no money left because he had wasted it away, making bad decisions, bad choices. And so he was beginning to get desperate. Unlike a lot of people nowadays, when he got desperate, he figured he'd going to get out and get a job. Apparently, they didn't have all the giveaway programs that we got now, so you don't have to work. You just, you know, live off of government or somebody else. So he realized he was in trouble, and he went to find a job, and he found a farmer that needed some help taking care of his hogs. And so this young man got a job helping this farmer. And while he's out there feeding the hogs and starving to death because he didn't have anything to eat, didn't have money to buy anything because he had wasted all his inheritance. And as he was there feeding the hogs, and the Bible says that he would have eaten the husk, the shuck, off of corn. I never have tried that. I've shucked a lot of corn. I've not tried eating that shuck, and it never appealed to me like it would be anything nutritious. But he was so desperate and hungry, he'd try anything. He realized he was in trouble. And finally, he woke up. He woke up and realized, man, I have messed up. Any of you ever woke up and realized that you messed up? You did something you shouldn't have done, and now you realize it. Well, this young man realized that he had really, really messed up. He had too much pride initially to go back to his father. That's the reason he hired on to the farmer. But now he's working, feeding hogs, but he's still starving to death, and he realized that He's desperate. And so he got thinking about that, and he thought, well, you know what? My father's servants are in a lot better shape than I'm in. You know, those that are working for my dad are have food to eat. They're doing a lot better than I'm doing. And so he finally decided to swallow his pride and go crawling back to Dad and beg Dad's forgiveness. Probably he had some questions. Will Dad forgive me? Have any of us ever done anything that we weren't sure that our Father would forgive us for? But some of us are in that boat. We've done some things that were pretty bad, and not sure if Dad will forgive us. Not sure how his heart is. But I guess he probably thought, what have I got to lose? I'm going to starve to death if I don't at least try. And so he went back to Dad to beg for his mercy. Well, as a father is, you know, we don't stop loving our children just because they mess up. They're our children. They're a part of us. And just because they make mistakes, just because they mess up, don't mean we quit loving them. And this father, although his son had messed up terribly, this father still loved the son. And so when the father saw his son coming, he didn't tell his servants, hey, tell him there's no use coming here. You know, I've already given him his share. You don't need to come back here. He didn't tell them that. Rather than that, he ran to his son, and the Bible says he fell on his neck. He hugged him and kissed him and welcomed him home because he was so glad to see him. I think about it. I have a brother who kind of excommunicated the family several years ago, and that was one of my mother's greatest wishes, was that David would just come back, that David would call her and talk to her. And the other, my siblings, there are 9 of us total, but the other 8 of us, we would talk to him when we had an opportunity and say, hey, you need to call Mama. Mama wants to talk to you. She wants to hear from you. Unfortunately, he did not. And my mother went to the grave still wishing that David would call and talk to her or come see her. This father was, I believe, had similar feelings. It didn't matter what his son had done. That was his son. And he loved him. And he wanted him to come home. And so when he came, his father ran and he met him and hugged him and welcomed him home and told his servants to prepare a party. We're going to have a party. Because my son that was dead is alive. He's back. And so they prepared the party. They killed the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger. The father demonstrated some real compassion. He showed tremendous mercy and forgiveness. And that's something that we all need to learn to do more, is to have compassion on people. Many times we see people in situations that, and on the surface it looks like, well, you know, they're just too lazy. They got there on their own. You know, if they hadn't have been too ignorant, they wouldn't have gotten that place. And we just kind of turn them off. When we don't know the whole story a lot of times, we don't know all the chain of events that might have put them in that position that they're in right now. I get calls regularly. One just a couple of days ago, someone who was homeless, and sometimes it's hard to help because some people won't help themselves. Sometimes it's not all their fault, and they need some help. They need somebody just to show a little compassion, a little mercy, just to love on them a little bit. You know, there are a lot of people out here that really don't experience a lot of love. They don't have any, even family members that are fractured and torn apart. And they really, and it's hard for me to wrap my mind around because I come from 11 family, you know, where we love one another, where we care about one another. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around someone who has no family that cares anything about them. Now, given sometimes they've made some really terrible mistakes, but maybe, you know, with a little compassion, a little mercy, a little forgiveness, and a little love, you know, maybe they can turn around, get straightened out. Well, this father showed that compassion, he showed that mercy, and he forgave that son, he welcomed him home. And so sometimes as fathers, fathers need to forgive their children when they have done things that were not wise. And then there's also the need for the children to forgive the fathers. There were two sons here. The younger one asked for his forgiveness and he went off and wasted that and got in a bad shape, finally woke up and realized what he had done and came home to beg forgiveness from Dad, and Dad forgave him. And then there's the older son who never left. He stayed at home. But then he got upset with Dad because he was jealous, you know. That boy got all of his inheritance and he left, and now you're going to let him come back. You know, I've been here working all this time. You ain't throwed no party for me. And now you're killing the fatted calf and throwing a great big party for my brother who don't even deserve a banana sandwich. And you're going to throw a party. He was upset, you know. And of course, his dad tried to reason with him. We find that part beginning in verse 25 in chapter 15 of Luke there. It says, now his elder son was in the field, and as it came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What in the world is going on with all this music and partying? He said to him, thy brother has come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. We would think that being a brother, he would be as excited to see his brother as Dad, right? That's not the way the devil likes it. And that's not the way we do it a lot of times, because a lot of times we let the devil have control instead of being Christ-like. And so he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and called for him. And he answered his father and said, "These many years I've served you. I've not transgressed you at any time, not done anything wrong. I've not gone against your commandments. And yet, you never gave me even a little kid to have a party with. You didn't even let me kill the baby goat and have a party with my buddies. But now you've killed the fatted calf." And he said to him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, it was fit, it was fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead." He's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. So, not only do we need fathers to forgive children, we need children to forgive fathers, because fathers make mistakes too. Okay? Sometimes. And this wasn't necessarily the father's mistake. You know, this young son left, he wasted everything, and he came back after he didn't have anything. And so the other brother was just a little jealous, because I can just picture him thinking, yeah, he's already got his share, and now he's coming back, and he's going to get some of my share now. You know? You ever seen a family split up over a little nothing? You know? I've seen families split over nothing. Sometimes thinking that there may be something, and there's nothing. Because, you know, so-and-so got that old chair, or got that old quilt, or got, you know, that old cup that Daddy used to drink coffee out of, or whatever. And so we split up and never speak to one another again because of some little insignificant something. Because these worldly possessions are nothing. And we don't take them with us anyway. You know, what's going to happen to it when you're gone? Well, I got that cup Daddy had. He drank coffee out of, you know. I got that sitting on the mantle. I keep that, you know. Well, one day you're going to be gone. What's going to happen to it then? We're going to bust a family up over that. And that happened so many times. And that was the situation here. So this son, the older son, needs to show some compassion and some mercy and some forgiveness on his father and his brother, actually, so that they can be a family again. The fact of the matter is, we're all prodigal. We've all failed. Every one of us. We failed our Heavenly Father. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we can point out somebody else's faults. We can look at their faults. And of course, our faults are never as bad as somebody else's. Right? You know, the things I do are, you know, I mean, I tell little white lies, but man, he's telling them big black lies. Like, there's a difference, you know. A lie is a lie. A sin is a sin. You know, it don't matter how big or how small. Jesus hung on a cross and gave his life to pay for every one of those sins, no matter how big or how small. And so we need to realize that we're all prodigal. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things we should not have done. We all deserve to spend eternity in hell. But fortunately, we have a Savior that paid our debt so that we don't have to spend eternity in hell unless we choose to. And so, we need to realize that so that we can, and the sooner we realize that we're all in that same condition, the sooner we'll be able to start forgiving others. The sooner we'll be able to start being a little bit more compassionate on somebody else that's made a mistake, because we realize, hey, you know, they're just human just like I am, you know. I might not have made the same mistake they made, but I made some mistakes. And so we show compassion and forgiveness. Forgiveness is pretty important, by the way. Jesus, in the model prayer, or right there after the model prayer, he talked about forgiveness. You know, in the model prayer it says, forgive us our trespasses or our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. In other words, God, forgive me just like I forgive somebody else. If I'm not willing to forgive, then I'm telling him I don't want to be forgiven, right? Oh, but it gets clearer than that, because he goes on to say, if we don't forgive those who have wronged us, then we will not get forgiveness. So if you're not willing to forgive somebody that has wronged you, think about that when it comes prayer time. And, you know, you can save your breath if you want to, because the Bible says that if you're not willing to forgive somebody else, God's not going to forgive you. That's pretty strong, isn't it? It's Bible. So that means it's true, right? Okay? It's not even a gray area. It is red and white, actually. That's in red letters, because Jesus is the one that spoke that. But when we think about the fact that we are prodigals, and then I'm drawn over to Psalm 103, where it talks about what kind of love and compassion and mercy we have been shown. In Psalm 103, beginning verse 1, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And what great benefits we have in Him, in God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Think about those things. What a great God we serve, who is bountiful in mercy, in compassion. He forgives us all our sins. When we repent, He'll forgive us. That's His promise, right? He'll forgive. We'll just repent and ask. He redeems our life. He gave us life. We were dead. We read there about the prodigal son, and the dad said he was dead, but now he's alive. Well, according to the Bible, before we accept Christ, we are dead in our trespass and sin. We're spiritually dead, and when we accept Christ as our Savior, when we repent of our sins, when we accept that gift of salvation, when we allow Christ to come take residence, the Holy Spirit to take residence in our heart, then we're made alive who were dead in our trespassing sins. So we were dead, all of us. Some, I would hope not, but some may still be dead if you've not repented and accepted Christ as your Savior. And so, He makes us alive. He satisfies us with good things. God has so many blessings that He wants to pour out on us. We as earthly fathers, we want to bless our children. We want our children to have the things that they need. That's our desire. A lot of times we're not able to do a lot of the things that we'd like to do because our children rebel against us. They won't obey us like I've experienced in the past when I wouldn't do what Daddy told me to do, what Mama told me to do. When I rebelled, they were not able to do things that they would love to do for me, get things for me that they wanted to get for me because of my rebellion. And so many people are keeping themselves from receiving a lot of blessings because they just simply won't be obedient. They won't surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so, He executes righteousness and judgment. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. We can do well to practice that. Be a little slower with our anger and a little bit more ready to show mercy and compassion. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. The reason that says east to west is because there is no defining distance. If you leave here today going east and you don't turn around, you can go for eternity and you're always going east. If you leave going west, there's never a place where you're no longer going west. You continue to go west. If you leave going north, you can only go so far north to the North Pole. If you keep going, you're going south. If you go south, you go to the South Pole. You keep going, you're going north. So there's a defining distance between north and south, but no defining distance between east and west. And the Bible says that's how far He's cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never be remembered again. When we repent of our sins, He forgives us and forgets it. Don't I wish I had that ability to forget? Well, I do forget a lot of things. A lot of things I don't want to forget. Sometimes the devil reminds me of some of those things that I wished I could forget. Things I've done that have been forgiven for years. The devil keeps bringing it back up. Trying to defeat me. Trying to get me down in the dumps and keep me from being vibrant and being a good witness. Like as a father, verse 13 says, God pities His children. Or like as a father pitieth His children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. There he reminds us that men's days are numbered. They're short. He says that, you know, it's like grass. It comes up, it flourishes, and then it's gone. James reminds us another way. He said that this life is like a vapor. It appears for a moment and then vanishes away. However long you live on this earth, compared to eternity, will be just like a moment. Like a drop in the bucket. We have an eternity to spend either in heaven or in hell. It's our choice where we spend it. God has made every provision for us to spend it in heaven with Him. He is a good Father. He is a compassionate Father. He's a merciful Father. He will forgive you for whatever it is you've done if you'll repent. And He wants to forgive you as earthly fathers. We need to learn more about how to practice the attributes of our Heavenly Father. We need to be more compassionate. We need to be more merciful, more forgiving. As children, we need to be able to forgive our parents. We're all human. We all make mistakes. Let's show compassion. Let's show mercy. Let's show forgiveness. And let's move forward. Let's enjoy one another. Let's put aside those differences and walk hand in hand and serve the Lord and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, we live our life. People are watching us. We're professing Christians. They're watching us. And they're deciding by the way we live our lives, by the way we treat other people, by all the things that we do, and they're deciding whether or not they want to be a Christian. Because if what we do is Christianity, and that may be the only Christianity they see, then they're deciding whether or not they want to experience that or not. I want my life to lead people to faith in Jesus Christ. I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder anybody. It's going to be a stumbling block to anybody to come to know Christ. Because I don't want anybody to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Because I'm looking forward to heaven. I've experienced enough of the likeness of hell here on this earth, which don't even compare with the reality of the real hell. I don't even want to experience any of that. And I'm not, because of God's promise. I'm forgiven. How about you? Father, we love you. Thank you so much. Thank you for our fathers. But God, I thank you most of all for our Heavenly Father. Thank you for the demonstration of compassion, of mercy, and forgiveness. Lord, none of us deserves the forgiveness. None of us deserves your mercy or even your compassion. But you love us in spite of us. And I thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to be more compassionate, to be more merciful, to be more forgiving, Lord, not only to our fathers, not only as fathers to our children, but Lord, help us to be compassionate, merciful, and forgiving to people, because they're all your creation. Every one of them is created in your own likeness, your image. Lord, help us to love on them, to encourage them, to be merciful and compassionate to them, forgive them, and to lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. As the song plays, if you've never come to the place of really genuinely trusting Jesus Christ and asking Him to forgive you and save you, come live in your heart, then today would be a good day to do that. Maybe there's some friction between you and your father, or fathers between you and your children, or between siblings, or neighbors, or whoever it is. Let's begin to practice the example that's been set for us by God. The example that's been set for us by Jesus Christ, who, as He hung on the cross, looking out on that crowd of people that had just put Him on that cross, He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." We need to look at people that same way a lot of times and forgive them and try to help them and try to lead them to faith in Jesus Christ, who will also forgive them. Anyone, quickly before we close, be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. But if there's something you need to pray about, I'll be glad to pray with you. Any decisions? Thank you for being here. Again, happy Father's Day to all your fathers. And for the rest of you, I hope it's a great Father's Day for you too. I hope it's a great day. Every day. If your father's still living, make sure you let him know that you appreciate him, you love him.